the most common reason why foodborne illness might send you to the hospital? A hairy little bacteria known as Salmonella. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has collected 40 years of data and, for the first time, published it online as an atlas. Dr. Robert Toks is the Deputy Director of CDC's Division of Foodborne, Waterborne, and Environmental Diseases, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Emily.
So first of all, tell us, why put these 40 years of data into one big web atlas?
Well, we're really pleased at CDC to present this atlas on the web. Each year, salmonella in tainted foods sickens an estimated 1 million people in the United States and causes 100 outbreaks of illness. Our mission is to reduce those numbers and keep people from getting sick. And while we've made some progress in the past in reducing salmonella infections, they have not decreased much in the last 10 years, and our goal is to bring them down another 25% by 2020. That'll take more effort by our key partners, regulatory authorities in the USDA and the FDA, and by industry and public health. So we created the Atlas as part of this prevention effort to gather together more than 40 years of information on the most common types of salmonella, which foods they might be in, where they are, who they affect.
Yes, the Atlas then implies that you believe that there is some geographic element to the outbreaks of this particular problem, correct?
That's right. Since the 1960s, public health has used information about each bacteria to divide them into different serotypes. We do this in order to detect outbreaks. Turns out salmonella is not just one thing. This group of bacteria can be divided into more than 2,000 different types we call serotypes. About 100 of these account for most human illness. And each serotype has its own history, how often and when and where they sicken people, what animals they live in, and which foods they contaminate. And we think understanding salmonella serotype by serotype is an important key to preventing it.
Has not having this type of, I mean, what you're talking about basically is a big data story. It seems like we talk about that in every facet of what the government does these days. But it was not being able to put all this data together in this type of holistic way. Do you think that that's been an impediment to research and to understanding the bacteria?
Well, it's complicated data, and it's been stored away in our computers. We published annual summaries, which are available, but it's been hard to see the big picture. And we think that looking at the scope over time is important to improving prevention.
And is the goal here, I guess let's back up a step, is the goal to eliminate the existence of this bug, or simply to make sure that it doesn't occur in food, or at least when we know it's occurring, to be able to prevent people from getting sick by it from cooking, or, you know, cooking the food enough?
Well, there are ways to prevent salmonella all along the way, from farm, where it starts usually, to table. But preventing salmonella often means controlling the infection serotype by serotype at its specific source. Like, say, vaccinating pigs against one serotype that's a problem in pigs, or stopping the spread of another serotype in chickens or in eggs. And so prevention that goes serotype by serotype has been successful, and we hope that making these data about a number of common serotypes available in a compact, visual way, serotype by serotype, means people can compare them and think about how to prevent more of them.
You want to see trends, or you want to see commonalities between these things that you've been able to tackle one by one?
Yes, that's right. That's right, Emily. I think that salmonella has been a rather hardy and challenging organism, and we'll probably always have some salmonella in the environment and in animals and in our foods. We'll never get rid of it entirely. But by understanding its patterns better, we hope the bottom line is that reducing salmonella infections is not just a CDC priority, but an important federal policy priority for our partners at USDA, FDA, and other agencies.
We're speaking with Dr. Robert Toks. He's the Deputy Director of the Division of Foodborne, Waterborne, and Environmental Diseases at the CDC. And does this effort, this mapping and this this producing of the atlas, is this a prototype for other efforts that you plan for other diseases and public health problems?
Well, it certainly could be. We at CDC are committed to making more and more of the information that we gather as part of public health monitoring and control efforts, making that information more available in more ways to more people. And this atlas is a step in that direction. We want in the future to make more information fully searchable. This atlas is just is a series of PDFs. It's a first step in that direction. But we will be making more information more available.
And how do you expect researchers to actually use these PDFs?
Well, we want researchers in academia, in industry, in government, to think more about Salmonella and how the common serotypes have behaved over time and space, and which animals they typically are found in, and how, and therefore how they could be controlled and prevented in the future.
So they might create these researchers in the outside world, academia, wherever you, they might be able to create their sort of analytic system, run all this, all these 40 years of data through their own system and try to find trends that way?
Yes, that's right, Emily.
And what about the idea of putting that data, instead of in PDFs, in some kind of machine-readable format, and putting it out there for people to develop apps for?
Sort of a weather map of Salmonella that could be
something like that. Yeah.
Yes, we're looking at several ways that we could make this information even more available in the future.
I want to ask you about your larger goal. You mentioned that you are trying to reduce the number of incidents by a quarter by 2020. How much progress have you made, and what more do you think needs to happen for you to make to reach that goal?
Well, there was a good deal of progress, say 15 years ago, in a few instances, but in general, Salmonella has not changed a lot in the last 10 years. And in order to make progress, we think that targeted prevention on specific foods like chicken and other meats, and targeted prevention against the common serotypes is going to be important. That's what's going to move the needle.
And what's a bigger problem, like the E. coli class of bacteria or the Salmonella?
Well, Salmonella is just one of a number of different bacteria that can contaminate food. And right now, our estimate is that Salmonella makes more people sick and puts more people in the hospital every year than any of the other bacteria that contaminate food. But E. coli and another bacteria called Campylobacter and other bacteria as well are also important.
And as far as you know, you mentioned that there are 32 types of Salmonella. What's the biggest cause of it, or where might people catch it from?
Well, these 32 most common types cause outbreaks all over the country. When we look at what are the foods most commonly associated with those outbreaks, it's chickens and eggs. Together account for probably one-third of Salmonella infections in the country.
And you had mentioned that you have federal partners in this initiative. You said the HHS, the FDA. Have they been working on this atlas? And what about the Agriculture Department, given what you just said about the chicken and the eggs?
Oh, I think several agencies in the Department of Agriculture are very important partners in this effort, both controlling infections on the farm and in slaughter plants. And the FDA, of course, is a key partner in all of food safety. And they have been part of the effort to monitor infection. In fact, some of the information in the atlas comes from federal laboratories of the USDA and the FDA. They've been part of this process, they are a key partners in prevention.
So in the meantime, scramble them till there's no more liquid, right?
Oh, yes, there are. Of course, there are things that the consumer can do to reduce their risk. Cooking meat thoroughly to the correct temperature, cooking eggs or using pasteurized eggs, Avoiding unpasteurized milk are just a few things that the consumer can do to protect themselves.
All right. Dr. Robert Toks is Deputy Director of the Foodborne, Waterborne, and Environmental Diseases at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Good morning to everybody.